بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأصفياء وأصحابه الأتقياء، أما بعد، فقال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى: باب جزاء الوالدين. حدثنا قبيصة قال حدثنا سفيان عن سهيل بن أبي صالح عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال: لا يجزي ولد والده إلا أن يجده مملوكا فيشتريه فيعتقه. امام بخاری رحمہ اللہ تعالی ان دس بک آف ہز الادب المفرد از بگیننگ اے نیو چیپٹر، جزاء الوالدین، ری پیئنگ دی پیرنٹس. Repaying the parents for whatever they have done for us. Repaying the parents for their favors upon us. Is it possible to repay the parents for their favors upon us? If it is, how? The first hadith Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala narrates in this chapter is reported on the authority of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, La yajzi waladun walidahu. A child can never repay his father or his mother. Walid, the word walid refers to both the father and the mother. Walid is in the meaning of dhu walad, the one who has given birth to a child, the one with child. So walid here refers to both mother and father, both parents. And walad also refers to both the son and the daughter. So walid refers to the one with child, father, mother, both. And walad refers to the one given birth by the father and the mother, both the son and the daughter. So, لا يجزي ولد, a child, a son or a daughter, cannot repay ولده, his or her mother or father. It is not possible for a child to repay its parents for their favors upon it. The son cannot repay the father for his ihsanat, for his favors. The son cannot repay the mother for her ihsanat, for her favors that she has conferred upon him. And similar is the case with the daughter. The daughter will be unable to repay the father or the mother for their ihsanat, for their favors that they have conferred upon her. It is not possible. There is only one way of repaying the favors of the parents. And that is illa ayn yajidahu mamlukan. Except that the son or the daughter finds the father or the mother in the state of slavery. The son or the daughter finds the father or the mother as a slave. Fayashtariyahu, and then the daughter or the son, the child, purchases this slave, buys this slave. And as a result of this buying, as a result of this purchasing, fayu'tiqahu, emancipates him or emancipates her. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said in another hadith, مَمْ مَلَكَ ذَا رَحْمٍ مَحْرَمٍ مِّنْهُ عُتِيقَ عَلِيهِ. According to Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullahu ta'ala, if a mahram purchases or buys a slave that is a mahram. So a mahram purchases a slave that is mahram. Mahram purchases a mahram. Then as soon as the exchange takes place without even the buyer intending to free the slave becomes free. A brother is buying a slave without knowing that this is my brother. A son is buying a slave without knowing that this is my father. It is possible, it can happen. The father is a non-Muslim, the son is a non-Muslim, and in infancy, in childhood, they both separate from each other because during a battle, one of them has been captured by the Muslims and he has been made a slave. And due to him spending time within the Muslim community and in an Islamic environment, he accepts Islam. And after 20 years, 30 years, 35 years, 40 years, the other, the father or the son, is also captured by the non-Muslims, by the Muslims, whilst he is still a non-Muslim. So the one who was captured first, either the father or the son, has already accepted Islam. And after years of separation, 30 years, 35 years, 40 years, the other is captured. But he is still a non-Muslim. And the first who has accepted Islam now, purchases or buys this slave without knowing that this slave is my father or this slave is my son. And after 5 days, after 10 days, he realizes that this is my father or this is my son. Then this father or this son would be considered emancipated and free the day the exchange took place, without even the buyer intending it. مَمْ مَلَكَ ذَا رَحْمٍ مَحْرَمٍ مِّنْهُ عُتِقَ عَلَيْهِ. That when a mahram purchases a mahram slave, then as soon as the exchange takes place, immediately the slave will become free. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said that a child can never repay its father or its mother for their ihsanat that they have conferred upon him, for the service that they had given him right from the time the mother had conceived him until he grew up to be a full-grown man. A child can never repay the parents. Yes, there is only one way of repaying the parents. That is, if he was to find his mother or his father in the state of slavery as a slave, and he was to purchase his father or his mother. And as a result of this purchase, he was to emancipate the father or emancipate the mother, free the father, free the mother. Then he would find some solace, some comfort that yes, now I have repaid my parents for whatever they had done for me. From this we understand the favors of parents upon us and the rights that they enjoy as far as their children are concerned. We can never repay our parents for what they have done for us. And we will only be able to realize what our parents have done for us when we get married, we have children, and when we nurture our children, then only we will be able to understand what our parents have gone through to bring us up. The second hadith, حدثنا آدم قال حدثنا شعبة قال حدثنا سعيد بن أبي بردة قال سمعت أبي يحدث أنه شهد ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما وعنهم رجلا يمانيا يطوف بالبيت حمل أمه وراء ظهره يقول إني لها بعيرها المذلل إن أذعرت ركابها لم أذعر ثم قال يا ابن عمر أتراني جزيتها قال لا ولا بزفرة واحدة ثم طاف ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما فأتى المقام فصلى ركعتين ثم قال يا ابن أبي موسى رضي الله عنهما إن كل ركعتين تكفران ما أمامهما. سعيد ابن Abi Burda narrates from his father Abu Burda. And this Abu Burda is the son of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So Sa'id ibn Abu Burda narrates, he says that I heard my father saying, that means I heard my father Abu Burda saying, the son of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, annahu shahida ibn Umar rajulan yamaniyan. Sa'id ibn Abi Burda says that I heard my father Abu Burda saying that he observed, he saw Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, who observed a Yemeni man performing the tawaf of Baytullah, tawaf of Kaaba. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma is in the Haram Sharif, and he observed a person who had come from Yemen and he was performing tawaf of Baytullah. And he was not performing tawaf on his own. Hamala ummahu waraa dhahrihi. He was carrying his mother on his back. Yaqulu, and he was saying, Inni laha ba'iruhal mudallal, in udhirat rikabuha lam udhar. Inni laha ba'iruhal mudallal, indeed I am for her, for my mother, her obedient camel. That means, since she has become old, since she has become weak and frail, since she has become disabled, since she has become in need of my service, I have become like a camel for her, and very obedient camel, that is always ready for service. Inni laha ba'iruhal mudallal. Indeed, for her, I am an obedient camel. In udhirat rikabuha lam udhar. And he says that if her other camels become impatient and restless, if her other camels are frightened, and when anyone becomes frightened, the result is that that person becomes impatient, restless. And when a camel becomes impatient or restless, it is very difficult to take service from that camel. So he says, in udhirat rikabuha, if the other camels of my mother, if she has other camels, if they become impatient and restless, that means if it is not possible to take service from them, lam udhar, I do not become impatient or restless. That means I never create a situation for my mother where she is not able to benefit from me, where she is not able to take khidmah from me, where she is not able to take service from me. And in another narration, there is another couplet, he says, hamaltuha aksara mimma hamalat. I have carried her on my back for more period than she has carried me in her womb. She has carried me for 9 months in her womb. I have carried her for more than 9 months. I have been in her service for many months. Day and night, whenever she requires my service, I am always there for her. فَهَلْ جَازَيْتُهَا يَبْنَ عُمَرُ O Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, have I repaid her for her favors upon me? ثُمَّ قَالَ يَبْنَ عُمَرُ Here in Al-Adabul Mufrad, ثُمَّ قَالَ Abu Burdah radiallahu anhu says that thereafter this person said to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, يَبْنَ عُمَرُ O Ibn Umar, Atarani jazaituha? Do you think I have repaid her for her favors upon me? Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, La. No. He said, La. You have not repaid her. Wala bizafratin wahidatin. You have not repaid her even for a single breath that she took when she was going through the pains of labor. When she was going through the pains of labor, out of anguish, when she was taking breaths in and out, you have not even repaid her for one from those breaths. You have served her for many months, and you have become totally obedient to her, and you have been doing everything for her, and you have behaved the way she desired you to behave. But despite that, you have not even repaid her for the breath that she was taking out of anguish, out of pain, the groaning that she was going through, the pain, the labor pain, when she was groaning, when she was breathing in and out, you have not even repaid for her for one breath, even one breath. From this we can imagine how much we owe to our parents. And it would not be difficult to imagine the pain that a mother experiences when giving birth to a child. Because Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma is comparing two things. On one side, months of service to the mother. And months of service, not like our service, that I visit my parents once a day for 1 hour. Or financially I support my father or my mother. No. Months of 24-hour service. Inni laha bayir wal mudallal. I become obedient. And carrying her all the time on her back. And hamaltuha aksara mimma hamalat, I have carried her on my back more than she has carried me in her womb. Now, more than 9 months, is it 10 months? Is it 12 months? Is it 24 months? It could be 60 months. 5 years, 6 years only, Allah knows. That's on one side. And on the other side, the pain that she experienced, the agony that she experienced when she gave birth to her child. Sometimes a woman has to bear the labor pains for 1 hour, sometimes only half an hour, sometimes even 24 hours, sometimes more than 24 hours. So whatever the mother did before labor pains, 9 months she carried the child in her womb, in her belly,
And whatever she did after the labor pains, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu is not taking that into consideration at all. We are only comparing the service of the son towards his mother day in, day out, with total obedience for more than 9 months on one side. And on the other side, labor pains. 1 hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. And from the labor pain, just one breath that she took out of anguish, out of pain and agony. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is saying that this one breath that she took when giving birth to you out of anguish, out of pain, you have not been able to repay her for that even. So just imagine how much we owe to our mothers. How much we owe to our mothers. It is very, very unfortunate. It is from the signs of Qiyamah that the children will distance themselves from the parents. How much do we serve our parents? How much do we serve our mothers, our fathers? Never mind serving them. Never mind serving them. Never mind their khidmah, financially helping them. How much time do we spend with our parents? How much time do we spend in the company of our parents? How many times in 24 hours do we look at our parents with love and affection? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said that whenever a pious child, male, female, either of the two parents with affection, with mercy, with love, for every gaze, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the reward of one maqbul hajj, one accepted hajj. When we do meet our parents, how much time do we spend with them? And when we look at them, how many times do we look at them with love, with affection? When we are at home, we miss our friends. When we are with our friends, how many times do we miss our parents? When we leave our home to go to meet our friends, our heartbeats increase. We look forward to meeting our friends. The speed of our walking increases. And when we return home, that speed decreases. And the thought of our parents does not enter our minds. There is a lot of difference between a person going to his home towards his wife and a person going towards his parents' home to visit his parents. When we go on a holiday, when we are returning from holidays, think, my friends, the thoughts of our wife and our children, our friends, will enter our hearts and minds over and over again. How many times do we think about our parents? There is no place in our hearts for our parents. And there is no place for our parents in our lives. Whatever time we give to our parents, it is because we are compelled to. Compelled to by the society, compelled to by the circumstances, whatever. We are compelled to. It is not that we look forward to seeing our parents. We look forward to sitting in the company of our parents. We look forward to spending time with our parents. No, it is not the case. And as far as the parents are concerned, Alhamdulillah, their culture is today, after 1400 years, the same. The love that the parents had for their children during the time of Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain, The parents of today still have the same love for their children. The parents haven't changed. The children have changed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, he has mentioned in a hadith that if you see this, 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 then wait for punishments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wait for hurricanes, wait for tsunamis, wait for earthquakes, wait for this. One after the other, punishments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. When you see this sin, he gave certain from them. One is, when people begin to give preference to the wife over the mother. When people begin to obey their wives and disobey their mothers. This is one sign that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave for severe punishments, dangerous punishments coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When people begin to obey their wives and disobey their mothers. And second sign, when people begin to distance their fathers and bring close their friends. This is what we see today. Wife is always given preference over the mother. Wife is always given preference over the mother. Wife is always given preference over the mother. And second thing we see is, we have more time for our friends than our parents. Friends are more important than our parents. If there is a clash between the demand of our friendship and demand of our parents, we will always give preference to the demand of our friendship. And as a result, not only do we become punishable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we become deprived of all the barakat that a person is able to acquire through his parents in this world and also in the hereafter. So friends, the purpose of studying these ahadith is so that we understand the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his very first students, Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alihi majma'in. And we try to understand this message and we give this message place in our lives. Thereafter, after this incident, Abu Burda, the son of Abu Musa al-Ashari radiyallahu anhu says, Summa Taf ibn Umar. After a little while, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma got up from his place and he also performed tawaf. After this incident with this Yemeni man, he also went to perform tawaf. Summa Taf ibn Umar. And after performing 7 circuits for Atal Maqama, he came to Maqam Ibrahim. After performing 7 circuits around Kaaba, which is called Tawaf, it is necessary to perform 2 rakat. And it is mustahab to perform these 2 rakat in a way that a person is standing in such a way that between him and Kaaba is Maqam Ibrahim. The more nearer he is to Maqam Ibrahim, the more virtuous it is. But if he is unable, due to rush or due to any other excuse, if he is unable to perform Salat in this manner, then he can perform it anywhere behind Maqam Ibrahim in that direction. And if for any reason he is unable to perform it in that area at all, then he can perform it anywhere in the Haram. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma came to Maqam Ibrahim, fasalla rakatain, and he performed 2 rakat. And after performing 2 rakat, he said, Summa qala, he said, Yabna Abi Musa, O the son of Abu Musa, that means he is speaking to Abu Burda, O the son of Abu Musa, Inna kulla rakatain, every 2 rakat performed after tawaf. So the reward is tawaf is separate. only the reward of performing two rakat after the tawaf. The performance of two rakat after tawaf tukaffirani ma amamahuma expiates, becomes the means of forgiveness for all the minor sins before these two rakat. So the performance of two rakat after tawaf becomes a means of forgiveness of all the minor sins that a person has committed before performing these two rakat. One can understand the importance of these two rakat and also the importance and the reward of the tawaf itself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to value our parents, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to strive to acquire their pleasure, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us their blessings in this world and also in the hereafter, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the opportunity to visit Haramain Sharifain over and over again with acceptance and with adab, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the opportunity to breathe our last in either of the two Haramain, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said that one who passes away either in Makkah Mukarrama or Medina Munawwara on the day of Qiyamah, he will be resurrected with those people who have no fear whatsoever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq, all the barakat of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to always remain in quest for authentic ilm, and also the tawfiq to practice what we learn, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to propagate whatever we learn also. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أعمالنا أواخرها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى جنة الخلد. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاد منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم، وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.